Get ready for real time, prime time, big time, show time. It's Edible Honesty time. And in the meantime, get ready for your favorite partner in crime, your host, one of the greatest talkers of all time, the king of Edible Honesty, the eighth wonder of the world, Andrew the Giant.
Hey, hey, my, hot, rockin' apple pie. Let's get down and let's talk about the ins and outs of the food industry. My name is Andrew, I'm your host, and I am ready to rock, so let's cut right into it, because today, we will be discussing one of the greatest edible injustices in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you, the American Supermarket. Now, you are either part of the problem or you are part of the solution, and American supermarkets are a frighteningly big part of a major problem. The average American supermarket is literally a minefield filled with edible landmine after edible landmine. There are tens of thousands of edible items, and all of it can really all be quite frustrating, especially when determining what is and what is not good for you. Now, granted, a few edible items can help strengthen your body or even your mind, and those 20 items can stay. However, the majority of the edible items located within an American supermarket are simply designed to turn your body into an unmanageable mush. And as for your mind, well, the object is simple: to have the entire American supermarket consuming public powerless. And we are powerless against edible brainwashing. See the rising weight scales of America. That being said, I declare that as of right now, all American supermarkets must be re-explored, reimagined, repurposed, and reconfigured, and post-haste. It's finally time for the American supermarkets to put out a new blueprint that is easy to follow and easier to run, and a mandate must be issued across the board to all grocers in the U.S. that prevents them from paying homage to edible pitfalls like sugary cereals and packaged breads. Now, for proper perspective, almost every single item on the American supermarket shelf is a hidden edible hazard waiting to happen. So now, we must reimagine the way a modern supermarket will look and feel and systematically operate so as to avoid the same dilemmas and the same edible pitfalls. And so, starting right now, all American supermarkets shall dramatic pause, ensure that their consumers can make better, healthier, more reasonable, responsible choices by simply carrying healthier, more sustainable items like local produce and ones without plastic stickers. And all supermarkets are hereby ordered to limit the obvious, ultra highly processed foods by science and all the other obesity-causing edible pitfalls that seem to litter every supermarket aisle after aisle after aisle. So now, without further ado, let's make American supermarkets right. So pass the beer nuts, Hillary Norman Peterson, and let's talk genetically modified supermarket turkey. You see, in the early days, before the advent of the supermarket, food items and dry goods were hand-collected by an assistant. However, that process was quite expensive and also quite lengthy, especially when you consider that every individual item would be slowly, carefully, attentively, individually wrapped. Why, a simple trip to the butcher shop alone could take well over an hour. It's like what Marco Polo said to his wife: "Hey, are you crazy? I just traveled 10,000 miles from China to bring the spaghetti. You want me to go back for meatballs?" Back then, people had to shop at multiple stores, and they were all located in different locations. There was the greengrocer, the fishmonger, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, and kibitzing and socializing was an enormous part of the merchant and consumer experience. But over time, people lost their patience because shopping for groceries took all day. And then someone had to unload the food, and then someone had to prep the food, and then someone had to cook the food, and then someone had to clean the food. And good Lord, I feel like I'm dying. And there you have it. That's why a cultural evolution of sorts occurred, and society was blessed with the supermarket. Now, by definition, a supermarket is a self-service shop, offering a wide variety of food, beverages, and household products organized into sections. The supermarket typically has aisles for meat, produce, dairy, baked goods, and aisle space is even reserved for canned and packaged goods, etc. Great concept. Horrific execution. So, what exactly are American supermarkets doing so horrifically wrong? Well, to answer that, let's simply start with a trip to the fresh and yummy produce aisle. Now, has anyone out there listening ever eaten fruit? Now, before you answer, I don't mean the kind you buy at American supermarkets. I mean real fruit, the kind that actually spoils. Fruit so sublime, you're moved to write a poem. D.H. Lawrence, in a poem famously entitled Figs, wrote that every fruit has its secret, and figs begins with a beautiful, comprehensive description about the proper way to eat a fig. And while he waxes poetically about the fig, and while he could have spent a lifetime lost within the fig, he's aware that that fig must be eaten immediately. Because back in D.H. Lawrence's day, figs were fruits that actually spoiled, and very quickly, especially once picked. Alas, he laments, people forget. Ripe figs won't keep. Ripe figs don't keep in any climate. This poetic homage to one fig was written in the year 1917. That was just over 100 years ago. So where are those D.H. Lawrence figs today and the other fruits once filled with delightful, edible secrets? And just what in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here, Taggart? Well, today, due to their extremely delicate nature, those figs are long gone, so no poems will ever be written about them again. However, the good news is that they've been replaced by Americanized, lab-created, weaponized sticker fruit that simply refuses to age. Holy sticker fruit, Batman! And you've seen the sticker fruit, and you've eaten the sticker fruit, because sticker fruit is all they sell in American supermarkets. Yummy, fresh, ageless, seasonal, just don't ask which one, fruit that has been bred scientifically and specifically to unnaturally endure an exceptionally long journey, like spending a year of your life online at the DMV kind of long. And those bred just for supermarket fruits, if you can really call them fruits, have been so genetically mutated and so highly altered and so much worse, just so any American supermarket shopper can take home a perfectly looking piece of supersized supermarket super sticker fruit, or phrased another way, special bewitched supermarket magic wishing apples, where all your dreams come true. Now make a wish and take a bite, said the evil queen to Snow White. And speaking of the evil queen and poisonous apples, ever eat a shiny, red, delicious supermarket apple? Because recently, the New York Apple Growers Association suggested not to. Instead, they suggest people should use American supermarket red delicious apples solely as ornamental centerpieces. Because while they might look nice and super shiny, they taste like dog duty! Exclamation point. Now, I know what you're thinking. Okay, so what's the big deal? So what if a bunch of New York apple growers don't recognize the fruit they grew and hate the taste? Something had to give to make room on the American supermarket produce shelves for super shiny, never aging, red delicious apples, where all of your dreams come true. That is, if you enjoy nightmares. Let's just simply call the red delicious apple the end of poem-worthy produce and the dawn of tasteless, edible irony. Now, there are several factors to blame for the ultra-bland taste of supermarket produce, and it's very hard to enjoy fruit when it has its prisoner number emblazoned in bold ink right on the front of its chest. You know the prisoner number. It's the sticker that is placed on every single piece of American supermarket Frankenstein fruit. And there it sits on the shelf of every single American supermarket. Prisoner number 4015. Prisoner number 4011. I would rather they place an enormous skull and crossbones on the front of every single piece of sticker fruit that sits in every American supermarket, because at least the skull and crossbones would be accurate and less offensive than prisoner number 4015. So take that, Nick Naylor. And the frightening part about it, for me, is when I actually do enter a supermarket and I actually do walk down the fruit aisle of a supermarket and I pick up, say, a peach, and dramatic pause. It doesn't smell like a peach whatsoever. And no real peach smell is guaranteed to mean zero flavor, because supermarket peaches are a different breed entirely. And a big part of the reason that supermarket peaches are so flavorless is because of the long and intensive process required to get the peaches from the farm to the supermarket. And to clarify what I mean by long, well, supermarket peaches are always picked when they are extra hard. Like, as soon as there is a scintilla of color on the peach, then wham, they rip the peaches right off the tree. Then the peaches are immediately put on coffin-like carts and left in extra dark rooms, like Bram Stoker dark, where the peaches ripen very slowly in their metaphoric coffin, so slowly that they defiantly defy all laws of nature. And by the time those peaches get to the supermarket and into your shopping bag, why, those peaches have lived so long that they have dementia and contain no nutrients because it was harvested way too early, well before peak maturity, well before any vitamins and antioxidants could even develop. But what did you expect? 65% of all peaches sold in American supermarkets are grown locally, right here in China. And now, a shout out to my favorite celebrity listener, Matt Damon. Hey, Matt Damon, do you like apples? Well, I got a phone number. How do you like them apples? Because American supermarkets are not selling apples. They are selling something akin to apples. So, Matt, think of American supermarket apples as the cubic zirconium of the American supermarket fruit world. All the apples sold are super shiny. Just don't bite into them because they are not the real thing. You see, the average supermarket apple sits in a warehouse for an average of 12 months. And at best, an apple that has been stored for nearly a year will have almost zero antioxidants and nutrients. Fact. But now, these one-year-old, nutrition-free apples, why they must get circulated to all the American supermarkets. And who knows how long that could take. Suffice to say, investigative evidence showed that on average, an apple in an American supermarket is easily 15 months old. And apples that are far past their expiration date can really be quite hazardous and super unsafe to eat. Expired apples can cause nausea, bleeding ulcers, and increase your risk of cancer, making it of paramount importance to know how to tell when the supermarket apple you're about to consume is actually expired, because a large percentage are. Now, has anyone ever spent a morning wondering what made your stomach so violently ill? Was it perhaps the raw clams? Or was it the half-priced sushi? Was it the raw chicken? Or was it the bacteria-laden lettuce? Nope. It was your supermarket apple. And my response? Why welcome this edible hazard waiting to happen in the first place? Immediately issue a mandate for all American grocers that as of right now, all the produce that is purchased for the American supermarkets will only be fresh, organic, local, and seasonal produce, period. And now, another shout out to my favorite celebrity listener, Matt Damon. I'll ask you one more time. So, Matt, how do you like them supermarket apples now? Well, I guess it would all depend on when that apple was actually picked. 14 months ago. Wow, that is fresh. For a marriage, perhaps. But for produce, 14 months is criminally insane and disgustingly unnatural and definitely not fresh. Not even close. It's like what Rose on the Golden Girls said, and I'm paraphrasing. My mother always used to say, the older you get, the better you get, unless you're a banana. Because let's face it, fruit flies love aging bananas. So then am I saying that there is no such thing as in season or even fresh at any produce aisle at any American supermarket? You betcha. Not unless it's, well, which season? Rabbit season? Duck season? And which year? Because Elmer Fudd, American supermarkets really only purchase produce from factory farmers who can supply them year-round with one-stop shopping produce. So American supermarkets will not purchase locally grown produce for a few months out of the year, or even a few weeks, or even a few days. And almost every single piece of fruit that we eat from an American supermarket is produced from somewhere like South America, or even better, China, and crops that are grown far away from their destination accumulate an enormous eco footprint when they travel. Now, in the United States, $320 billion worth of produce is purchased each year. Now, where does that produce actually come from? Somewhere. Just definitely not here in the United States. And there it sits in your local supermarket. The produce you believe is fresh, staring at you with its prisoner number tattooed on its sad face. So $320 billion worth of produce a year is purchased in the U.S. And out of that, 50% of the purchased produce is lost to waste or left to decay or simply thrown away. Holy food waste, Batman! And even worse, only 29 million pounds of all American produce purchased last year was grown locally. And that is just simply disgraceful. First off, all American supermarkets must be mandated and forthwith to only provide fresh, local produce that is actually in season. This will immediately eliminate a ton of waste. Now, this also means that all American supermarkets will no longer be purchasing edible produce items like blueberries 365 days a year, because blueberries are only in season 3 months out of a year. And that's from early June to late August. And with a simple mandate in place like that, well, finally, a sustainable food system can be established for all American supermarkets that provides healthier food that actually meets current food needs while creating a myriad of local, healthy, happy, thriving American ecosystems that are now manageable and sustainable and capable of providing food aplenty for generations to come with minimal negative impact to the environment. Under my plan, let's call it the Day Edible Poetry Return to America, all American supermarkets shall work in unison with their local communities and their local farmers and their local flower growers, local bakers, local cheesemakers, etc., and dedicate themselves to providing as much local organic farm fresh food and local fresh artisanal food products as they possibly can. As well, all American supermarkets shall comply to a new standard and sell all protein portions 4 ounces at a time and apply the pre-established 4 ounce steak rule that I laid out in episode 3, Global Obesity, to all other edible supermarket items, because once implemented, the 4 ounce steak rule allows all local American supermarkets to provide a way higher quality of everything. Meat, dairy, seafood, tofu, French strawberries, you name it. And that new quality, that high standard, will be for every single American supermarket consumer across the board, regardless of socioeconomic status. Because finally, the focus will be off nutrition-free, edible, hazard, waiting to happen, quantity, American supermarket food. And quality of our American supermarket food over quantity of our American supermarket food must be the American supermarket's mantras as they charge into the future. So now, all edible items shall shrink down in portion size and clearly reflect what a daily portion is. And supermarkets shall ensure that their consumers make better choices by carrying healthier, more sustainable items, and ones without plastic stickers. And aisle space will be limited for the obvious all obesity-causing edible pitfalls like ultra-highly processed foods. And by employing local sustainable farmers and local sustainable artisans and local bakers and local cheesemakers and local fishers, and by providing all local American supermarket communities with real, nutrient-rich, fresh, local food, then we are finally able to reintroduce local, sustainable farming and local farmers back into the fabric of every American community. And now, all American supermarkets instantly become positive agents of global climactic change. Biodiversity and greater species diversity ensures natural sustainability for all life forms. And by conserving our scarce water resources and helping all American communities rebuild healthy soil through composting and planting cover crops. And most importantly, under my The Day Edible Poetry Return to America plan, the American supermarkets will become shining examples and a global model for taking a big chunk out of local childhood and adult obesity. And now, those magic slippers will take you home in 2 seconds. Under my plan, Dorothy, The Day Edible Poetry Return to America, there is also way less fossil fuel and lower production of greenhouse gases. And big bonus here. Actual human labor has finally been put to work rather than some energy-intensive technology. And of course, there is zero production of plastic fruit stickers. And speaking of fruit, the chocolate that is sold in supermarkets and marketed via Madison Avenue is not fruit, but instead pure candy. All about added fat and added sugar. Therefore, all advertisements for chocolate candy and sweets shall be pulled from all American media. And henceforth, General Patton, sir. And that's assuming that these candy companies still want to be sold in food outlets and American supermarkets. Now, I'm not saying we should pull the chocolate and the sweets from the shelves, but they must be scaled down in size. And the aisle where the chocolates and sweets are now located must post warnings about the food contained within, just like cigarettes. And they must be sold by the portion. And if sold, these sweets must become a useful tool and agent in the battle against local obesity. So now, all we do is prevent Madison Avenue from brainwashing our kids and glamorizing sweets and having our kids scream, "Daddy, buy the cereal for me. I hear it's magically delicious." Therefore, sugary cereals, you're now banned. Sugary drinks, you're now banned. Ice cream banned, potato chips banned, almost every single snack item in the supermarket is now banned. All the commercials I recall from my childhood are literally a celebration of type 2 diabetes. Kool-Aid? Oh yeah. Twinkies? Yahoo! Coke? Wow! Thanks, Mean Gene. Banned, banned, banned. I could go on for days, but I won't, because I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. So then, what do I suggest marketing and glamorizing instead? How about something like real heirloom fruit or edible flowers, sea vegetables, raw unsalted nuts, quinoa, treadmills, running shoes, books, heck, even board games like Kinect 4. Pretty sneaky sis. In fact, any and all food items that are ultra highly processed are just simply banned from any and all forms of advertising as well, and there is no explanation needed. You can still remain in the supermarkets. However, you will no longer be at eye level, and you will be regulated to a specific aisle that posts warnings about the food located within, just like cigarettes. Think about it. Eradicating global obesity requires new solutions, and American supermarkets must lead that charge. And they must become positive agents of change in the fight against local childhood and adult obesity by reversing their course and dedicating themselves to bringing back simpler, healthier, stronger, smarter, happier, safer American communities. And all of that can happen. Every American supermarket can finally become super for once, right here, right now, simply by initiating and executing my plan. The day edible poetry returned to America. You ought to have seen what I saw on my way to the village through Mortensen's pasture today. Blueberries as big as the end of your thumb, real sky blue and heavy and ready to drum. Robert Frost, end scene. So that's it. That's a wrap on American supermarkets. But tune in next time when I discuss the rise of edible intellectual property and I answer the age-old question of what came first, the American chicken or the egg. My name is Andrew. I thank you so much for listening, and to all my fans out there in Israel, shalom, and a huge edible shout out to Matt Damon, who probably does not like them supermarket apples now, and to everyone else. I've been getting your emails, your comments. Thank you. Don't forget to give me a 5-star rating on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. And no, I am not signed by any media outlet yet. And CNN and Food Network and Cooking Channel and Martha Stewart and ABC News and Comedy Central and whoever else, I'm available now. So get in contact with me and let's work out a deal and let's get edible honesty what it deserves, a syndicated platform. So get ready to tune in for next episode for more edible honesty. Same edible time, same edible station.